Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 361 of Mike White's podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by KC.
Nella.
How's things, mate?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely knackered. We're literally doing this. I'm uploading it, and I'm off to bed. I'd love to say it's due to some horrible feel sorry for it. I just haven't slept in like 2 days, and some of that's my own fault, and some of that is Sean Longstaff's fault because it took me a while to sort of. So even though it wasn't that big a game, there's something about a last-minute equaliser. It's going to be at least a couple of hours before I can even think about going to sleep.
The people you're up all night for, Luke Murphy, Sean Longstaff.
Yeah. Well, I was up all night for Sean Longstaff, although I have to admit, I was, along with, from the look of Twitter, a lot of people, thinking Sean Longstaff's come on and had a pretty shit game here. But, you know, you come off the bench and score a 96-minute equaliser, you can have as poor a game as you want. 8 out of 10.
What a lad.
Yeah. It wasn't as big a robbery of a point as Chelsea away was, but that was a lovely undeserved point, and that's something that we really haven't done enough this season.
Yeah. I mean I think you'd be going a stretch to say if you predicted a 2-2 draw at half time in that game, I'd have thought you were slightly mad.
Yeah, because, I mean, they had by far the best of the first half. But they created one excellent chance. And Carl Darlow made a world-class save.
Hmm.
And Brendan Aaronson also had a shot on target.
He did have a shot on target.
And just after the save, they dragged a volley away. Like, they had the best of it, but it wasn't, like, real backs to the wall. I actually thought it was quite a lively first half. In like the middle third, and then just nothing actually happened at either end.
Yeah, there wasn't much in the way of end product in the first half. Like you say, the Darlow's save is brilliant because he's obviously already going the other way, so he's just able to throw a leg at it and make the save.
And there's also someone in front of him which won't become funny later.
No. Not at all. But yeah, we created very little in the first half, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah. We just didn't get hold of the game. But we seemed all right. The biggest threat to Leeds was Ethan Ampadu going in sort of knee high on his teammates. Yeah, it would boggle that he flattened, wouldn't it?
Yeah, substituted at half-time, Jayden Bogle.
And Tanaka actually had a little bit of a nasty one early on as well, where he caught someone a bit high. Thinking of what it was probably true fair, just because it was in that area. I can't remember who it was, but that was one of them that a bit later in the game he might have struggled to get away with. But yeah, not a great first half. Bogle goes off injured at half-time. I haven't had time to read things properly today. I believe Fark said it's a foot injury. And that he's hopeful he'll be about for the weekend. Yeah, hopefully available for the semi-final. So he should be okay. There was another player injured that because we were in the pub and not really listening to the commentary and staying off Twitter and stuff, we might not have seen. Did you see the other injury that was also reported at halftime of the game?
No.
Graham Smith reported that Bonnow isn't out warming up with everyone. Bonnow rolled his ankle, I'm guessing, in the warm-up. He may be okay for his place on the bench in the semi-final. And just while we're on the subject, Gruev is out for the rest of the season. It was reported, like, basically when he wasn't on the bench, which, I mean, I didn't even notice at first. Just because I was just going, oh, unchanged, and just never read the subs. It was reported then that it was a knee injury and it was his meniscus, and you thought, oh, well, unless that's the tiniest thing in the world, that's him. And it isn't the tiniest thing in the world, and they're hoping to have him back for the start of pre-season. I know that he wasn't going to start, but that's a shame.
Yeah, it obviously it's a blow, because I think with the way the team was performing now, I think Tanaka probably stays in, would have stayed in anyway.
I do as well.
But yeah, obviously I think he would have got on. because I think he was certainly ahead of Sean Longstaff in the pecking order at this point.
So
blow for him, because obviously last time he was there was Southampton.
I don't think there's any chance he's that. It sounded like there were, Fart made it sound like there was sort of an outside chance of Stack being back to sneak onto the bench or something, but I think it'll probably be later than this.
For the final.
Yeah, he'll be there for our inevitable crushing defeat to Southampton in the final. In the second half, it was a much better game. But to be fair to Bournemouth, they were definitely the better side basically the whole time. And I think it was about 2 minutes after, not just us, basically everyone were going, God, there's a goal coming here if we don't get hold of it.
Oh, look, there is.
And then not only did we not get hold of it, we really quite sloppily gave it away. Tanaka tried to sort of knock it round one side and run round the other and made... I don't know if he just didn't realise it was Senesi who just bodied him. And the difference with having a relatively cultured centre-back, even though he can be... He can do the other side of the game. He's a Christian Romero, but with a better temperament. Yeah. So he steps through midfield with the ball, plays a really good through ball for Krupe. Biol throws himself out, can't get there. Roden, he's made a good run between the two. Joe Roden's really unlucky on this, because he sprints back and does actually slide in and get to the ball, but the deflection just takes it past Darlow.
Yeah, it was... Like you say, it was frustrating to lose it in that manner. And I think the second you notice it had gone past Biol, I think we all just started to say, that's 1-0.
Yeah, I think the noise was, oh, shit, there it is.
Yeah. And yeah, like you say, it's one of those goals that you looked at and went, and you know what, they deserve this.
Yeah. And there were no real complaints. One thing that I did like is that, I mean, it's easier to do it when you're behind, but Farker did make positive subs. I mean, that goal's the 60th minute and Leeds make changes in the 64th. And when we saw Nonto and Mecha, we both said that will just be straight swap Okafor and Calvert-Lewin and they'll save him for Sunday. But no, Nonto for Okafor, Mecha for Biol. And we go to a four, go more attacking. And I thought Mecha made a really big difference.
Yeah, I thought he had the appearance of a man who was saying, I want to play in an FA Cup final. Pick me, boss.
Yeah.
But yeah, he got on the ball a lot more than Calvert-Lewin had. I think he showed his physicality. And I think within the first sort of 4 minutes, he tried to get three shots away, which I think was more than Leeds had had total up to that point.
Yeah, he just really got involved. Leeds had a really good chance very soon after they went in front. I think it was James Hill at the back that just played it back to him and he just like let it run under his foot. Just not concentrating. Okafor nips in, goes through. And his little like chipped finish. It was weird on the TV angle because when he first hit it, I couldn't tell if it was going in the middle of the goal or 10 yards wide. And it was only when it hit the post that you had any sense of what direction it was actually going.
Yeah.
That was unlucky. Obviously, he goes off and on comes Mecha as well. But we do get an equaliser after a bit of a scramble. Well, a lot of a scramble, really. Long throw from Ampadu. It sort of goes... It gets headed basically straight up about three times. Aronson gets something on it. And it is Mecha that sort of manages to get in and shield the ball and lay it off for Nonto, who, sure, let's say, finishes. just drives it across goal. And it's, I think it's James Hill again, isn't it?
Yeah, it's off the heel of Hill and Petrovic just can't react to it. It was a scrappy goal. I file this one in the Archie Gray files of, I don't give a shit what it says. Well played, Willie Nonto.
No. This one's a no goal. Archie Gray's, I'm still giving him.
I was really happy for Nonto because obviously, again, he has been limited with his minutes. I know Farkas spoke quite highly of him after the Wolves game and the impact he can make off the bench. It was very much one of those, this is how I see him. I like him, but this is how I see him in this team.
Yeah.
It was nice for him to get the plaudits for that anyway. As you say, it's a bit of a scrappy goal, but at that point, again, you're not bothered.
Yeah, that's a good, really good to see him get involved. Nice equaliser for us. That's 68 minutes. And from then, they do get back on top again. I actually didn't realise that the Rayan for Brooks sub was slightly before the goal. In my head, it was after. Because their team was exactly what we expected, with the exception of Brooks playing over Rayan.
Yeah.
But they also bring on Adley for Christie, Tyler Adams for Krupe. And Tyler Adams, I don't know if you've seen any of the videos or like that, but he didn't get a clear great reception.
No.
Because,
good.
Yeah, I mean, fuck him. Try to sue your way out of a football club, not bad.
Bloody young bastard.
Yeah, but Tyler, he got a lot of abuse and did give a bit back after he set up what looked for a long time like the winning goal. He makes a run down the right, which Sean Longstaff just appears to switch off for a second and not track him, and then suddenly it's too late. It's a good ball in, and it's swept home by Rayan, who I am amazed didn't start, because every time I've watched him, I think he looks like a great player. But yeah, it was a good finish. Decent ball in from Adams, to be fair. But when it went in, it's because of the two wins in a row. There's been so many games this season where Leeds have conceded one late on, like this was the 85th minute, and you've been furious. And this one, we just went, ugh, and that was about the end of it.
Yeah, I think had we lost one of the last two, you'd be a lot more disheartened by that. But as you say, you've got 6 points from the two previous games. So, you know, sod it. It's frustrating, but yeah, you take it. They're a good team. They're unbeaten. I mean, as it goes now in 13, but 14 now. Sorry, it was 13.
Yeah, I think it was 13 going in.
Yeah. And they are a team legitimately challenging for Champions League football. I think they're fringes to get it, but they are still in with a shout at that. They still have something to play for this season.
Yeah, I can't see them getting Champions League football, but I mean, I can't see it happening. But had they won this, they'd have only been 4 points off.
Yeah,
they're currently seventh, so they're in with a real shout of European football at the very least.
And, yeah,
you know, really good side. And then we get, I would say we've glossed over their penalty shout, mostly because I just don't think it was a penalty. Forgot about that.
Yeah, him and his dived.
Yeah, it won the pen. Then we get the one where, yeah, you can always find it funny when it's you. Senesi again, breaks forward again, plays a really nice ball. Evan Hilton turns away, goes through, scores, really good finish. And you can show me that replay 1,000 times. That's level. VAR is shit. On this occasion, it benefits it because he is offside. That bit of his shoulder is off. You can score a goal with that bit. It is offside. But, like, it wasn't given on the field, and it just feels wrong that that gets overturned. I'd so much rather not have VAR. But on this occasion, funny.
Hilarious. It's not what any of us want football to be, but VAR and the offside rule has been this the whole time. Yeah. So
it just removes the old nuances of football, where because there is no such thing as level. You're in front or you're not. But that, for 20 years you'd been watching replays going, yeah, it's level.
Yeah.
And that, so yeah, it's shy but good for us.
And then
And then, yeah, because that was about, I mean, well, we nearly nicked an equaliser a lot earlier. I say a lot earlier, like 4 minutes earlier. Nonto got him down the right, putting a really good cross, and Mecha sort of wraps his foot round it. Kind of scuffs the volley a little bit, but it's one of them that it's hard to not scuff, and it hits the base of the post and goes wide. And that was a really, it wasn't like a great chance, but it was a good chance, and you thought, shit, there was it. You always get one chance. And then, like, 5.5 minutes into the six added on, Leeds get a throw-in. From just, my dad will be loving it, from just a cheap ball over the top from Ampadu that turns the defence around and makes them clear it. Exactly what you want. And Ampadu launches it into the box. It's headed out to Sean Longstaff, who, just to get it out of the way, if it was at the other end, there's no one anywhere near.
No, he's got an absolutely free run on it. In the, as you said, 96th, 97th minute of a game. The fact
when you've got everyone back.
The fact that he has a four-yard run on it, you'd be very frustrated. But
abysmal defending.
Yeah, runs up, and if he didn't hit the target, you'd have been frustrated.
Yeah, it's when you've got that much time, you should get a good strike on it, and he gets a good strike on it, as much as Ampadu called it a shank in the post-match interview. sort of slices across it, manages to fit it through a borderline non-existent gap between, I can't remember which, there's a Leeds player in front and like two or three Bournemouth defenders, and he gets it through with a lot of it. I think it's Mecha that's just in front of him, into the bottom corner. Everyone jumps up. I've seen the videos from the away end. It looked particularly good, especially considering how much less stress there was for this one than others. Nothing like a last-minute equaliser, especially when you haven't really deserved it. But it's fair to say Andoni Iriola was going a bit mental, because Joe Peru is 2 yards behind the defensive line. But when you see it from behind, he isn't actually blocking the keeper's view. The two Bournemouth defenders and Mecha are what's blocking his view. And he also, because he can't see, he jumps up in the air to try and see. So when Longstaff hits that ball, he is up in the air, which makes it, and I've checked with a scientist, physically impossible to dive for that ball because you are in the air. So unless you can do a video game double jump.
Yahoo!
Oh-ho! Different mouse.
I was going to say, Mario's not a mouse.
Yeah, no, I'd say different character when it came out, different mouse, but I just have to stick with it. It's the M for mouse on his hat. I told you I was tired. Wrong word. Now, don't get me wrong. If this was at the other end of the pitch, I would have been shouting offside at the top of my lungs because it looked it. And in real time, I thought it was. And
but
having seen that replay, I genuinely don't think he's actually interfered.
No, I think that replay from behind, I think, is great because it, like you say, it's the fact that you can see that Petrovic is behind his defenders. Don't get me wrong, if he's like half a yard to his right,
or if it even clips him the tiniest amount, offside,
like it absolutely is, but. Yeah. You see Peru just get, it's just enough out of vision for me. Great.
Yeah.
I bear no ill will to Bournemouth, but haha, fuck you.
Yeah. I was pleased for Longstaff as well. One, because he hadn't had a great game and this, really says well. But he hasn't had nearly the amount of football I expected him to. When we signed him, I thought that he'd play most games. Because I've just thought, right, there you go. Solid, experienced head that's been playing at this level for years. He'll play loads.
Take set pieces.
Yeah, and I didn't think he was going to take set pieces when we signed him. I know I didn't have him down in my head as the set piece guy, but they're not bad. But it's good for him to get one. And that's is that his third this season?
I think so.
Because he scored against Bournemouth at Elland Road with the one that I think was a shank that went right in the corner. Lovely. And we'll claim was a lovely finish. And then in the was it the Norwich game in the FA Cup? Goodmanson pulled back and he like flicks it up and turns and volleys it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he's got three this season. But yeah, really good goal for him. And as much as those two wins had taken the pressure off, it's another great point. 34 games gone for us. Obviously, this team's around ever game in hand because they'll play this weekend. But that's 40 points and 9 points clear of safety.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a hell of a strong position to be in.
Yeah, because, I mean, don't get me wrong. Barring a bit of an aberration, Spurs are going to beat Wolves.
I mean, you would think so. Wolves were really bad.
It's also away, which is, I mean, admittedly not in 2026, but has been Spurs' stronger suit this year, has been playing away.
Yeah, stronger.
yeah, and it's neither one of their strengths. For all intents and purposes, neither has a strength.
Yeah.
But I mean, don't know. I feel even if we lost, but you did have the word that Wolves have beaten Spurs, I would be having a bit of a laugh.
Yeah, it would be funny. I mean, the good thing is that I think that the one thing that surprises me, and I think just with how late the TV fixtures were announced for May, the Wolves Spurs game is Saturday 3 o'clock.
Hmm.
And I would have thought that'd have been on telly. But yeah, that puts... I think that, as I think they mentioned it on the match ball, it's like 0.2% according to the Opta computer now that Leeds go down. It's 100% that Burnley go down. I think got beat 1-0 by Man City last night. From a quick look at the highlights, they stole a 1-0 because it should have been a lot more.
Hmm.
But yeah, they've gone back down. I don't know if you can. I think 20 points after 34 games isn't something you can call putting up a good fight.
No. I think the measuring stick for me in kind of recent years is still going to be, and I say this now laughing given the predictions of last year, but the Luton team that competed in as many games, and don't get me wrong, they lost so many of those, but you at least had the ability to watch them and go, you know what, they're not playing, you know, to knock on, so they're trying to play a bit of football here, rightly or wrongly, and they scored a fair amount of goals. Whereas I can't.
Yeah, really... I've just checked. They did only actually get 26 points.
Oh yeah, like they weren't good.
Yeah, but... and scored. Let me just check that this is right. Goals for. Yeah, that's what they did score 52 goals.
Hmm.
Which isn't too bad. The problem is they conceded 85.
Yeah, it a slight issue there. And one of their players. I mean, he didn't die, but. Yeah,
he had his second attempt.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how many goals did I just say they scored? 52.
Hmm.
I mean, we've got 44 this season with four to go. So it's like a similar goals output. The difference is we've conceded 30 fewer. And it's actually slightly more than 30, but we've got a few games left.
I mean, because they had like a 5-3 or 5-4 with Arsenal. Like they had they were an entertaining team.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, I respect that. So, yeah. Whereas Burnley, I know they have a couple of players that you potentially look at as squad players for us, but I don't think there's really many I'd be sort of sprinting to get.
No, I mean, someone will sign that Esteve. Because he was really good in the Championship and he's been all right. And he's been pretty decent so far this season from what I've heard more than seen, because you don't go out of your way to watch Burnley because they're an awful watch.
Hmm.
I quite like that Ogechukwu in midfield. I mean, you know, Jadon Anthony's done well, but no Premier League clubs will be trying to sign him.
Yeah.
Same with that Marcus Edwards, same with Hannibal. I mean, Dubravka's a good goalkeeper, but he doesn't seem like someone that wants to. If he fancies sitting on a bench somewhere, a Premier League club will take him to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of look and think, well, that's probably why you've moved there, is you've had a few years of of going out on loan and not quite being a first choice. So,
fair thee of the week.
But fare thee well, Burnley. You shan't be missed.
Yeah, and the thing is, you'll go down with a big budget, going down with some good players, you'll get some more in. And as much as I don't particularly rate him as a manager, Scott Parker does have a decent record in the Championship, so you'll probably be right up there next year. And it's only the team that finishes 18th that gets relegated two seasons in a row. And because you're going to finish 19th or 20th, you'll be fine. Yeah. 2 years in a row, the team that's finished 18th in the Premier League has got relegated again the next season.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Significantly funnier for Leicester than it is Luton.
Yeah, but yeah, it's. I mean, what we got, so because we've only got Coventry who are guaranteed promotion so far. There is a chase between. It's like Southampton. Is it like Southampton, Borough, Ipswich, and Millwall for second?
At the moment, Ipswich are second on 79. Millwall third, also 79, but like 17 goals behind on goal difference. And Ipswich also have a game in hand.
Yeah.
And then Southampton 76, Middlesbrough 76. And then the battle for sixth place itself is quite...
It's two teams, isn't it?
Yeah, Wrexham and Hull both on 70. Derby can technically get there because they're 4 points behind, but one of Wrexham or Hull is going to win a game. So
yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, hopefully it's Hull over Wrexham for me, even though just because I think that would be funnier. Because I love that Hull are like 23rd in the XG table and might get in the playoffs. I'd be pleased for Joffy, and I've got a couple of mates that are Hull fans. And I know that they're relatively local, but I don't hate Hull at all. I just don't. I don't care enough about them. I genuinely think it goes back to us having that like football manager save on like FM 2006.
You and Stuart Elliott.
Yeah, me, Stuart Elliott and Freddie Guarin.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I genuinely think that's why I just don't. So, for me, it'd be fun. And also, I sort of don't want Wrexham to just come right the way up. I don't want, as much as I like Rob McElhinney, I don't want that to happen because I really hate someone else that they got involved with.
Yeah, it really soured me. Like, I watched a solid two episodes of the documentary until I just went, I can't watch that, man. I cannot sit there and listen to Sean Harvey spout this bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd say it would be funnier if that happens. It's also just on the subject of promotion battles. It's Saturday early kickoff, I believe, is York and Rochdale.
Ooh.
With York having a 2-point lead over Rochdale with, 105 and 103 points, I think they're on.
I mean, I have to say now, the National League is, one, it's a bit entertaining looking at the table like that. But for people such as you and I, it also seems a bit of a dumping ground for teams that definitely shouldn't be in the National League.
Yeah. Oh, just to be clear, I was underselling it. It's 107 and 105.
Yeah.
The other thing it shows is quite how big a gap there is between the top and the bottom of the division in terms of quality. That they don't just... It's not just that they lose few games. There's not as many draws as there is in some of the other divisions.
113 goals for York.
Yeah. I really hope York go up. One, it'd be nice to have them back in the Football League. But two, didn't they get like 100 points last year? And then get beat in the playoff semi?
I mean, like I said, I don't like looking at this purely because when you're looking at York, Rochdale, Carlisle, Scunthorpe, Southend, Hartlepool, in my head, Boston, who haven't been a Football League team for a very long time at this point. But they're all Football League teams.
Yeah. I mean, Forest Green have been in Football League for most of the last 10 years.
They are teams we have lost to at least once. Yeah.
16th place, Yeovil.
Yeovil, yeah.
I mean, by the way, just on the other side of it, have you seen Gateshead were bottom and like buried 15 games ago? And then they've like lost two of 15 and won about nine of them. And now the 17th. Yeah, I mean, the saddest one is, and they're already, they're 22nd and down, Morecambe.
Sorry, I've just been sidetracked after you mentioned Gateshead there. Gateshead striker Frank Noble.
Oh, is that where Frank Noble is?
Yeah.
So, I can't remember if someone's in between, but there was Chelsea and West Ham, weren't there?
Yeah, like his contact man's played for a lot of it. In fact, apologies, because he's already left Gateshead.
Was there Newport at one point?
There's a lot of teams to get through. Yes, 2017, 2018.
Yes. There's the sort of stupid thing you have no reason to be in your brain.
Yeah, apologies. He's not at Gateshead anymore. He's at Spennymoor Town.
Oh.
But he did join them this season as well. Yeah. So.
But yeah, I think that's the 12:30 kickoff on Saturday.
Mm.
So depending on which Premier League game that goes against. Like, I genuinely might well watch that instead.
Yeah.
Fulham and Villa. Yeah, I'm going to watch York and Rochdale. So, on to this Sunday. Quite a big game.
Yeah. Managerless Chelsea.
Managerless Chelsea is what we should talk about. What was your first reaction when you heard that Liam Rossini had been sacked?
Well, I tried to write about this in my journal, but I could only muster up one word. Bugger.
Yeah. I posted on our Twitter the odds. You know, that is not to promote gambling, it was to make a point. When that draw got made, Chelsea were 1-4 to qualify.
Hmm.
When I posted it, they were 8-11. It had got close to being an each. Liam Rossini got sacked, and it had got jumped back to 4-7 within about 2 minutes.
Just the betting public looked at it. Oh, yeah, it'd be fine.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. If he's gone, then I think there's a bit more chances, basically what they were saying.
I do think Liam Rossini should be used as the blueprint now for if you're taking your first big job, here's how to not publicly put yourself across.
Yeah, there's been a backlash to the LinkedIn high performance-y sort of speak, which I think the way that saying that about Liam, he definitely does it. But I do think it's a little bit of an oversimplification of him.
Yeah, the guy,
he's not like a Jake Humphrey level prick.
Although now you've mentioned it, I've never thought of it that way. But it's an odd one. Like, don't get me wrong, there was obviously the jokes when Potter made the move to Chelsea and he had his glow up.
Yeah.
This was next level, was it? And I think when you're doing the things with the manage, well, if you break it down, that sort of thing,
man and age, and that's what you're doing in this job. You're aging men.
Yeah. So you're doing it to their muscles much faster, mate. Yeah. And whether he was involved in it or not, the way he handled the huddle around the ball, which I don't know how involved he was with that. I'm going to say not very, but I think you could have handled that better.
Than saying they were respecting the ball.
Yeah.
Which just, like, If you're saying, even the only way I'd be willing to accept that as a sentence is as a bit of a wanky way of saying we need to keep hold of possession here. And even then, just say we need to keep hold of possession.
Yeah.
The main thing that I'm disappointed about in getting sacked for is because those players clearly didn't fucking like him.
No, and it's one of the things, and I know Chelsea have this habit of going through managers like hot meals, but I do think there is a huge difficulty for managers who do not have the pedigree for winning things to turn up at a club and go, this is how you're going to play. And a £300,000 a week midfield is just going, nah.
When you look at the managers that have been like properly successful at Chelsea, Mourinho, Ancelotti, Conte, I mean, Tuchel had already won quite a few things before he won stuff there. I mean, they ended up not like sort of hounding out Pochettino, even though he was doing a decent job, who hadn't won much. But like the ones that have been really successful there were the big ones that have won everything.
Yeah, and I was having this conversation with, I think it was with Alex Benison the other day, just saying like, I think it's all well and good having your football principles, and this is very much an oversimplification. If you turn up with not a lot to back up your philosophy and saying, lads, you don't know how much you're going to have to run now, and they just look and go, it's not for me. Because I think that is one of the issues, is that a lot of managers do come into these jobs and think, oh, well, I've done this at this club, I'm going to take it here.
Yeah.
And you just don't get the buy-in from the players.
Yeah. And I mean, Michael's in the comments here, and he's right. Maresca won 2 trophies last season. Yeah, and they still sacked him.
Yeah.
And they were a damn sight better side then than they were under a senior.
Yeah. And look, part of it is Chelsea's model. And they are the club that can very much say, yeah, we sack loads of managers, but we win a lot. Like, it shouldn't work, but they kind of have made it work.
Yeah.
I think it will work less under Bowley, because I think at least with... And maybe there are also fewer elite-level managers that will go there now that are still involved.
If you're right at the top, like really top-level manager, I don't know why you would go there. Because you're going to have your pick. And if you've got your pick, there's other ones you do. But yeah, with them having lost 5 in a row without scoring, they have now dropped to 8th, and they're 7 points behind Liverpool for the last Champions League place. And Liverpool, and obviously, and the top 5 all have a game in hand on them as well. Brentford are level on points with Chelsea and have a game in hand. Everton are 1 point behind Chelsea and have a game in hand. Sunderland are 2 points behind Chelsea and have a game in hand. Like, they could, oh God, this is genuinely not meant to be disrespectful. I keep wanting to call him McEachran because it's Chelsea. Is it McPherson, the guy that's taking over?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I can't get, this happened when, because he did it in like January or something, didn't he? For a bit. And for some reason, I just can't get McEachran out of my head.
But he could very well find himself managing a team in the bottom half of the table by the end of the weekend.
Yeah, McFarlane, that's his name, McFarlane, Callum McFarlane. But yeah, so they won't be doing out too outlandish tactics-wise, because he won't have time to, and as a caretaker, he wouldn't. When they battered us 2-2 at their place... I haven't gone back and looked yet because, as usual, we have had to do this podcast at quite short notice. Was that one of the games where they played a 4, wasn't it? Not where they played a 5.
Yeah.
And so I expect a similar thing with this. I don't think they'll go 2 out there with the selection. Cole Palmer missed the... it really can't be sort of overstated quite how bad they were against Brighton. Like, if they'd have got beat 7-0, I think it'd have been fair enough.
Like, it's just what we're looking for, really. I know very much now it will be someone else in charge. Okay, we've got, you know, four games in the league and this to try and do something with our season.
Yeah.
So you do fear it might be a team that comes out trying to prove something.
They need to get some form of Europe, full stop. But with
financially, I've heard they're doing quite well.
Yeah, with their they made a profit of minus 350 million, I believe. According to the books, somehow they're fine. Well, I know how they're fine. They sold the women's team to themselves for like 200 and something million. I think they'll be back to just a standard 4-2-3-1. Palmer was out in midweek. João Pedro was out in midweek. It sounded like João Pedro might be back. I didn't hear much about whether Palmer would be. It'll be Sanchez in goal, you would have thought. And then their centre-backs, they've got that many that the answer really is kind of fuck knows which they're going to pick. Because they seem to change every single time.
Yeah, I mean, they're not like you and me. Their fans, not really big fans of Tosin.
No, I mean, against Brighton in last game, they went to a five and it really didn't work. And they played Fofana, Chalobert and Jarrell Hatto. And then Hatto, they sort of stepped up a bit further forward and dropped into a four. But like Fofana wasn't particularly good, neither was Chalobert. When they played against us, it was Achimpong and Chalobert. Chalobert, I think, is most likely to start. Fofana should be good, but just isn't for some reason. I mean, I know he's a prick, but like, he really should be. Like, if I was them looking at the options they've got available, I genuinely think Tosin is better than what they're getting out there. Jarrell Hatto was like absolute wonder kid at Ajax, but he hasn't looked like Oat Special this year.
I mean, yeah, but I suppose that's most of the Chelsea team, isn't it, at this point? Like, it's getting quite bad when I think you're looking at even sort of the likes of Caicedo, who I think is probably one of the best holding mids in the league, or certainly one of the best centre mids.
When he's playing well, yeah.
But yeah, again, like a lot of the team, he just doesn't look interested. You have... I think it was Enzo a few weeks ago when he was interviewed post-match and he was speaking about, well, I don't know if my future lies here.
Yeah, well, I mean, that Brighton game was his first game back from a two-game internal club ban for talking about how much he fancies going to live in Madrid.
Oh, don't we all, mate? But we don't talk about it.
And I haven't read this story, but I did get a notification on my phone. Apparently, he might go to Man City in the summer.
Oh, that'd be funny.
Which would, yeah... would be funny. Like in midfield, then it's Caicedo and one other. And I don't think he'll do the messing about thing that they've done a lot with playing Enzo Fernandez further forward and stuff. I think it'll just be Caicedo and Enzo Fernandez, and they'll play an actual 10 at 10, provided one of Palmer or João Pedro's fit.
Yeah.
Out wide. I mean, they've got loads of options. Neto's really good. Garnacho is hit and miss, but when he's on, he's really hard to deal with and he gets loads of shots away. Estevao, I believe, is injured and should be fine for like the World Cup, but he might not play again in the actual season, which that loses a bit, although he didn't get any change out of Leeds at Elland Road, did he? So I would think, and they've got that, they've got a couple of other youngsters, but I'm going to guess Neto and Garnacho, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and then up top, I mean, if João Pedro's fit, it'll be João Pedro. If not, it'll be probably Liam Delap. And I know he's got a lot of talent, and but Liam Delapsy is a striker that the type of defenders we have can deal with a lot more easily than the Canchao Pedro.
Yeah, I mean, I know at Stamford Bridge, he was sort of sidling up more alongside Bornau, so I don't know how much it counts, but we really struggle with that. João Pedro going into an offside position, coming back and making that run. It seems to be something we couldn't get to grips with. If you're asking me now, I'd much prefer Liam Delap.
Yeah. I mean, if both Pedro and Palmer are out, then it'll still be Delap, but then you probably do get Enzo Fernandez at 10. And alongside Caicedo, you've got one of Andre Santos or Romeo Lavia. Based purely on how much Lavia didn't do well against Brighton, probably Andre Santos.
I just remember how much they spent on Romeo Lavia as well.
Yeah, it was only like 50 million or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, the bit that's unlucky is that he's basically been injured for 2 years, but the other thing, they could push Hatto up into midfield, but I don't think they'll do that. As for Leeds, obviously we know exactly what the formation is going to be, because I don't think, I mean, obviously when we played there, we had a very odd setup where our sort of winger / tens were Aronson on the left and Bogle on the right. Yeah, I don't think we're going to be in that sort of situation again. Do you think there will be any changes from the Bournemouth game? And question one. Do you think it'll be Perry?
I really don't know now.
I think it will be. And Fark said, if you look at what we've been doing, you'll know who I'm going to pick. And he's picked him for the cup games.
Alex Cairns.
But I do think, and I've no problem with it being Perry, it's fine. But this is an FA Cup semi-final. If Daniel Fark thinks that Caldalo is a better goalkeeper, that's who he should pick.
And he absolutely does think he's the better keeper.
And on current form, he is as well. There was a time earlier in the season where I said, no, I actually think Perry is a better goalkeeper overall. But this is the best I've seen Caldalo be in his entire career. This last 4 weeks, he's been excellent. So, I would, and yeah, Perry might get pissed off, but and if we're in the 115th minute, I'd be getting Perry warmed up.
Yeah,
because I would want him on for a penalty. For penalties,
is Tim Krull on a free?
Yeah,
I suppose it's down to that, and I think the only other thing is whether Jaden Bogle's fit for it or not.
Bogle is fit, who do you think plays right centre back? Justin or Roden?
I think it's Joe Roden. It's one of those, it's massively unfair because James Justin has been playing really well. But I think if you've got those three centre backs all fit, that's the back three I want in this game.
Yeah, because obviously if Bogle isn't 100%, it's just Justin at right wing back, and that kind of all sorts itself out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't really talk about it, but I thought Pascal Strauch was outstanding against Bournemouth. he was really good.
He's having a good run, which I'm always really happy about, purely because that last year in the Premier League, he just lost all his confidence by the end and just needed taking out of the team. A lot like Ilan Meslier did.
Yeah, I still blame Marsh for sticking him out at left back so much and things like that.
Yeah. So I think it's done him so much good, and it's good to see that even when we've had obviously the tough starts of the season, but that he's been so consistent this year. And I was about to say he's been relatively injury free.
Yeah.
Pascal, if anything happens in the warm up now.
Yeah. I do agree that I think he'll pick Roden for this one. Even though if he picks James Justin, that's perfectly reasonable. Justin's been great lately. And to be honest, when Roden came on against Bournemouth, he wasn't particularly good. So
No, he didn't. He didn't settle into the game well.
No, it'll definitely be Beal and Strauch, and then Goodmanson. Definitely Ampadu and Tanaka in midfield.
Yeah.
Aronson and Okafor behind Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah.
It's hard to see it being, unless there's some injuries that we don't know about. It's hard to see any of that changing.
Yeah, but I know since December we've kind of had our runs, but there's been a lot of those periods where we've spoken about should he try the two up top again? Should we do this? Should we do that? And it's really nice to just be able to start a few games in a row and just go, you know what, this team's playing really well. Put them back out there.
Yeah. The main thing that I want to say out of this game is I really want us to get really fucking stuck into them early. Because I know it's a different guy in the dugout, but it is, you know, a very inexperienced guy doing it.
Hmm.
They've just lost 5 games in a row without scoring. Their confidence cannot be that high. If you can really, basically the way we started at Old Trafford, if you can fucking get into them and really, you know, press high for a bit and try and win ball early, I think there's a chance to get a lead early and their confidence just go.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if we are a little bit static and standoffish, they're good enough technical footballers that if you give them some time on the ball, they'll start to play like themselves again.
Yeah, you don't want to invite them to play.
No.
Really shit-ass ourselves to a 1-0 win is what you're saying.
I mean, I have no idea. Look, they did mention this on the Square Ball as well, and I agree with them. I'm so much more excited for this one than I am for other, because the playoff finals were so stressful.
It's an all or nothing game, isn't it?
Yeah, and this, yeah, don't get me wrong, it's a massive game, and if we could get through it, it'd be amazing. But I wasn't expecting, I really wanted a cup run, but I wasn't expecting one at all. Yeah. And if we get beaten in the FA Cup semi-final and stay up, we'll go, oh, what a good season. First season up.
Yeah.
That's a great season.
It's the second best season back.
Yeah. I've enjoyed this more. We could go this time. But, yeah, is there anyone who really scares you on their team? Because if he's fit, I think João Pedro is a cracking player.
Yeah, João Pedro is one of those that I look at, and I think visually you don't expect him to be the sort of player that leads like plays as a striker like that, especially in that team. But yeah, he caused us so many problems at Stamford Bridge. So I really hope he's out. The daft thing is the amount of quality there. Like when you talk about players like sort of Pet, you know, Neto and Enzo Fernandez, like they are very good players. They should be like dominating games like this, but it's been beaten out with them.
Yeah, like obviously some of them are injured, but they've got like 6 wingers that are all good.
Hmm.
But
well, 5 and Garnacho.
But none of them are like so ridiculously good. They're all like a similar level.
Hmm.
There's not enough between them. It's an odd situation for them to be in. Enzo Fernandez worries me just because he is a belting player. He's a bit of a prick, but he's a lot of a prick, actually. But he's a hell of a player.
Mark Cucurella is a very good left-back. He's a massive prick.
Yeah, evil shithouse bastard.
Yeah.
Good footballer.
Yeah.
The one thing is, I don't think any of their centre-backs are out to fear.
No.
Like, we have seen our forwards get change out of better defences than this fairly consistently. Which means that will it happen since for the first time since 1992 in the Charity Shield, will Leeds score a goal at Wembley?
Yeah.
And as before, we include the one at the Millennium Stadium because it was de facto Wembley for a bit.
Yeah, I think so. I think we've got, like I say, I think if we start the game right, and again, it's two teams who are coming into this in complete opposite form to each other.
Yeah.
Like, we are coming into this off the back of our best run in the league so far, best cup run in, you know, a few more than enough decades.
Yeah, I know this isn't an away game, it's a neutral game, but we are also 9 games unbeaten away from home, which is which is the best run of that we've had since 1979.
We've had a few draws in London this year as well, haven't we? Draw with Brentford, draw with Chelsea, draw with West Ham.
Yeah. Obviously, we got battered at Arsenal.
Yeah, we don't count that. Yeah. And we haven't played at Spurs yet.
No.
Did we draw? Oh, no, we lost at Fulham.
Yeah, we morally didn't.
Own goal. Doesn't count.
But yeah, I'd say Calvert-Lewin against those centre-backs, I think we really can get some change out of. Because, I mean, Metcher got a little bit of change out of them in a game where we were getting battered.
Yeah.
So if we can really get ourselves into this game, and I've got a sneaky feeling for Tanaka having a really good game here.
Hmm.
I just think he stacks up well against them. And obviously he did at Elland Road, he was brilliant. But I just think there's something about the way he plays that suits these as an opposition.
What I quite like as well is because he's a centre mid who likes to carry the ball a bit, he's doing it on a big pitch.
Yeah.
Which I know, strictly speaking, Wembley isn't that much bigger than the average football pitch, but it's a fucking massive pitch. Come on.
It does also mean that, and it was a good thing that he was back fit enough for the bench in midweek. I always think at Wembley, depending on how the game's going, Dan James is always a decent option.
As long as he doesn't get his head caved in.
Yeah. And I mean, he still nearly scored a belting goal, didn't he, in that one. Just having a glance at the points. 4 of us went for a draw at Bournemouth. Connie obviously went for a win, as he always does. You had us losing 2-0. I had 1-1, Benny had 1-1, and Alex and little Danny both had 2-2.
Yeah.
So it's looking like basically a fight between Alex and little Danny for the points. I will tweet out all the predictions as I did with the Bournemouth one, because as usual, I haven't had time to get them this early in the week. But what do you think we are going to be, Casey, against Chelsea at Wembley?
I'm going to go 2-2. I think we go the distance again.
We're going for distance. We're going for speed. I think we're going to play really well for half an hour, not take his chances and lose 2-1. But I don't think we're going to be coming away furious. I think we're more likely to come away furious at a referee or something than we are at the team. I think we're going to come away going, nah, they've put up a decent fight there.
Yeah.
Unlike every other time when I've gone to Wembley where I thought, we're not going to fucking show up here. Except for Donny. The Donny game, I actually thought we were just going to turn up and win because we were so much better than them, and then we didn't.
Yeah.
So we'll see where we are. But hopefully we can be back here next week talking about how expensive it'll be to go to a final.
Yay.
Yeah. One of the guys at work is going on the club coach. So apparently they're leaving at like 8 a.m. So enjoy your early start. Obviously, you're not allowed booze on them. If you're taking some, just remember to make it like, you know, make a strong vodka and Coke or whiskey and Coke, something like that, that you can hide. Drink it before you get to Wembley in case they pull you over to check anything. And most of all, everyone that's going, have a really good day. Everyone that isn't going, have a really good day. Because we don't get many of these.
I think most importantly, if you buy a half and half scarf, fuck off back to whichever team's place you came from.
There's no limit.
Admittedly, if you're a Chelsea fan, you're closer to home.
Yeah, well, there's like, I think like 2,500 more tickets going to the Leeds ballot.
Because
I think Chelsea have sent some back.
Huh.
Which, I mean, I do wonder if that is people who just didn't want to go watch Rossini. And then he's gone.
Yeah.
But we'll see. But yeah, hopefully Leeds can get a result, gets to a final. And it'll probably be Man City if it does happen. And yeah, we'd probably lose that game, but you never fucking know, do you?
Yeah.
So that will do us for episode 361 at My Rights Podcast. I've been Jack. See ya.
I've been Casey. Have a good one.
In a bit.